station.
A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I'll be right back. Neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Did you see the neighbor that came in with me? Come on, kitty. Come on.
Come on, Jimmy.
I want you to meet people.
Yeah.
This kitty's name is Jimmy, and it belongs to some friends of mine. Yeah. Come on. See my television friend? Yeah. Say hello to my television neighbor. Oh, he's very busy. Wants to see everything. I know, of course. And the kitten's mother lives with these friends of mine, too. And when this kitten was born, when Jimmy was born, those friends made a film of it being born, so we could see it. And I'd like to show that film to you now. Come on over with me, okay? And we'll see a film about when you were born. Such a fine boy. Yes. Let's just look right over picture, picture.
Now this is Jimmy's mother. She looks fat, but that's because she has little kittens inside ready to be born. You see, the mother has a special opening where her kittens will come out. Here's one being born now. He looks wet, doesn't he? But after his mother licks him, he'll get all dry and fluffy. And as soon as he's able, the kitten will look for one of his mother's nipples and be able to drink her milk. Must feel very soft. See, the mother cat really cares for her kittens. And there's the newborn kitten, little Jimmy.
Yes, how much you've grown already. You're such a fine kitty. Grown so much since you were born. When I was a little boy, I wondered how kittens and puppies and little animals like that were born. Would you like to get down? Okay. My grandfather let me watch his cat give birth to her kittens, and I'll always remember that as a wonderful time. He helped me to understand it so well. And he told me, you know, Freddie, it's all right to wonder about things and ask about things. I was thinking about my grandfather when I made up that song about wondering.
You know the one called Did You Know That It's All Right to Wonder? Did you know? Did you know? Did you know that it's all right to wonder? Did you know that it's all right to wonder? There are all kinds of wonderful things. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know that it's all right to marvel? Did you know that it's all right to marvel? There are all kinds of marvelous things. You can ask a lot of questions about the world and your place in it. You can ask about people's feelings. You can learn the sky's the limit. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know when you wonder, you're learning? Did you know when you marvel, you're learning about all kinds of wonderful, all kinds of marvelous, marvelously wonderful things? Oh, the kitty jumped up on the couch. Jimmy, you jumped up on the couch. Yes, good for you. I wanted to tell you something. Yeah. You know that when you were just starting to grow inside your mother, I just wanted to say that when he started to grow inside of his mother, he was just a little speck. And he grew and he grew until he was big enough to live outside his mother. But he still needed her to feed him and take care of him for a while. And someday, Jimmy. Oh, you like it there, do you? You like to sit there on the floor? Someday you're going to be a big cat like your mom or like your dad. Oh, there's somebody at the door. Come on, let's go see who's at the door. Let's go see who's at the door. Oh, it's Mr. McFeely. Mr. McFeely?
Good day to you. Is this a good time for the pickup?
Oh, it's a perfect time, Mr. McFeely. Jimmy's a very frisky kitty.
Well, I'll take good care of him.
I know you will.
See you around the neighborhood.
All right, Mr. McFeely, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's have some make-believe. Trolley? Last time we pretended that Lady Elaine Fairchild had made a cover for Mr. Aber, and when he put it on, he looked like King Friday. So now let's pretend that they're waiting for the Queen and the King to come out of the castle and see them. All right? Ready, Trolley? For the neighborhood of make-believe.
It looks good on you.
Yes, it does.
Oh, here comes somebody.
Put on your cover, Charles. Well, well. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Queen Sarah.
Why, Friday, you must have had a huge breakfast.
I am not your husband, Queen Sarah.
Oh, but you look just like him, only somewhat larger.
I'm really Charles R. Aber underneath.
Oh, I think Friday will just love that.
Is Uncle Friday at home, Aunt Sarah?
He is. I expect him any moment. Yes.
Oh, that must be he now.
Hello, dear.
It's an assembled gathering, I presume.
Correct. As usual, Uncle Friday.
Who is holding that large mirror?
There's no large mirror here, Uncle Friday.
But there's a very large me.
Yes, it's the largest you I've ever seen, Friday.
The large me may speak.
King Friday the 13th, the name, sire.
But I am the person. Who speaks under that cover?
Oh, Friday, you guessed it was a cover, you clever king.
Of course I guessed. There's only one of the real me.
Well, there's only one of everybody, Toots.
I guess that's true. Only one of you, Fairchild.
That's right, Toots. Aren't you glad?
Well, that is a clever cover. Now, who is underneath?
Don't you want to guess, King?
Of course. Let me guess. Are you Cornflake especially?
No, sire, I am not.
Are you Daniel Striped Tiger?
No, sire, I am not.
What about X the Owl?
Not the owl, sire. I come from Westwood.
Are you our Westwood neighbor, Charles R. Aber?
I am, sire.
Oh, that was a most pleasant interchange.
Oh, thank you. It was Lady Elaine's idea.
Why, Fairchild, you're always surprising me.
This time for good, huh?
Exactly. Do you know what would add to my pleasure?
What is that, Toots?
I would like to see Charles and Lady Aberlin dancing as the king and his beloved niece.
Oh, that should be fun.
Yes.
May I have this dance, Niece Aberlin?
Of course, sire. And shall we make it up as we go along?
Certainly. A niece and king dance.
Yeah, niece and king dance. Lovely. Yes.
So close.
What's the matter, Daniel? Oh,
please don't come so close to the clock.
Why not?
Oh, because it might happen to me.
What might happen?
Whatever happened to King Friday.
Well, nothing happened to Uncle Friday.
Oh, yes, it did, didn't it, King Friday?
Nothing happened to the real King Friday.
Well, how did you get to be too big?
I'm not too big. For me.
Oh, please stay away. I don't want to get to be that big.
Oh, you won't, Daniel. This is just a cover that looks like Uncle Friday. Show him, Mr. A.
Oh, you're really Mr. Aber under it all.
Yeah, I'm really just me with a kingly cover, Daniel.
Oh, I was afraid of you.
Why do you think you were?
I thought that if I would touch you or you would touch me, all of a sudden I'd get to be a huge wild tiger like you were a huge King Friday.
But that's not how people grow, is it?
I guess not.
Some people dream they grow that way.
I'm not dreaming right now, am I?
Oh, no, Daniel. You're very much awake.
Oh. I'm glad I talked with you two, because I'm very much feeling better.
Oh, we're glad,
too. We're glad.
Thanks, Lady A and Mr. A.
Well, thank you for being our honest friend, Daniel.
Mm. Oh, ugga-mugga, Daniel.
Oh, ugga-mugga to you. I give you an ugga-mugga.
Oh, yes, thank you. Ugga-mugga.
Thank you, Mr. Aper.
You're welcome.
And now we'd best dance over to the castle.
Oh, I'll watch you. Bye.
I wonder if he'll ever come down from the sky.
I wonder.
You must have danced the whole way to someplace else.
Well, we stopped and talked with someone who thought I was you, King Friday.
Oh, they must have been so disappointed when they found that it wasn't.
Oh, Friday.
They were relieved, Uncle Friday.
Oh.
It can be scary to get too big too fast.
Oh, I suppose so.
Well, let's have some refreshments then.
For the day when Fairchild gave her kingly friend a treat.
And the treats made up a beautiful dance.
Oh, wait, Charlie. Charlie, it's just a cover.
Yeah, come closer, Charlie. See?
Always something new with us, Charlie. Always something.
Daniel was really worried that if he touched the big king, he'd get to be big very fast, too. I know I used to dream about being very, very big, and I had to do lots of scary things because I was so big. But when I woke up, I was glad I was myself, and I could do the things that I was used to doing. Those are important things to think about. That was a pretty dance that Lady Aberlin and Mr. Aber made up together. You could make up a dance if you like. In fact, I'll play something on the piano here, and you dance. If you can't dance with your legs, maybe you could dance with your arms, or your neck, or your eyebrows. Like that. Dance to that? I like to make up music. Telephone. I wondered what. Hello? Oh, yes. It is a good time. All right. Sure, we can go out there. Yes, I'd like that. Thanks very much, May. All righty, see you in just a minute. Bye-bye. That was May Sarton. She's a very fine poet friend of mine. She writes lots of different kinds of books. And she said she'd come over and tell us some things about making up poetry. I want to get a couple of her books, and then we'll go outside and wait for her. Oh, she's a special lady. Yeah, come on, we'll go out here. She's going to stop by on her way to school. When May comes, we often come out here in the porch and read to each other. Those are good times. I think I remember the first poem I ever learned. My grandmother said it to me. She said, "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you." I think that's how she felt about me, my grandmother. And I guess that's why I wanted to learn it. Do you know any poems? Maybe you'll make some up sometime. Oh, there she is now. Hi, May.
Hello, friend.
I'd like you to know my television neighbor. May Sarton.
Hello.
Will you come up to our swing?
Yes, glad to.
I was telling my friends, you are a poet. You write all kinds of things, don't you?
Yes, I do, but I like poetry best.
Best?
Best, oh yes.
And did you write when you were a little girl?
I think I did. I'm sure I did, but also I learned a lot of poems by heart. I love to say them. Sort of got it in my ear, I think.
They're like music in a way, aren't they?
They're very like, they're on the verge of music and not quite. And that's the magic, I think. It's just magic somehow, in between.
Well, when you were a little girl, you wrote poems, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Even as a child?
Oh, I did. I did, yes.
Well, when you would make them up, did you think, now, these are things that people will read or hear?
Oh, no, I don't think I did. I was doing it for myself. And because I just love to say them, you know, and hear them. And then it was nice when I could say to one of my friends, "Look, I've just written this poem. Would you like to hear it?"
Uh-huh. And they would.
And they would. Yes, they would.
Did your mom or your dad ever read to you?
My mother always did. Before I went to sleep, she always read poems. I can hear her voice now, you know. They were spinning in my head, lines. "Children dear, was it yesterday? There's a poem, English poem, that says that. I love that line.
I wonder if you might read some of yours. I was showing this to my friends, the fur person.
Oh, it's about my cat, you know. A cat called Tom Jones.
Look and here, a couple of the same book. She's got one.
There's the cat. He's a nice, plain cat with a white shirt front. And when I was writing the book, I was trying to find a way to have the cat talk, which would be different from my talking. So I decided to have him be the poet. And so he writes poems, lots of poems. Here's one when everybody wants him to fight. And he is a gentle cat, and he doesn't want to fight, you see. You'll appreciate this, Fred, a gentle cat. So I'm going to read the poem he says about being a gentle cat.
Right.
I have come disarmed. I've come for good among you, my friends. I'm greatly charmed by this neighborhood where my story ends. So be gentle, do, and accept my state, for I will not fight whatever you do. I'm a gentle cat, and it is my right to sit in the sun on this lovely street on a fine June morning, and to anyone I may chance to meet, I give this warning. I'm a gentle cat, and I will not fight.
Gentle cat and will not fight. You love cats, don't you?
Yes, I do. I always have had a cat, always. And
would it be an imposition to ask you to read one of my favorite poems of yours? It's called Halfway to Silence.
Oh, yes. Well, I'd love to read that, especially for you, Fred. It's a little short poem. Halfway to Silence. I was halfway to silence, halfway to Land's End, when I heard your voice. Shall I take you with me? Shall we go together? All the way to silence? All the way to Land's End? Is there a choice?
Is that a love poem?
I think so. Yes, it is. I guess all my poems are love poems.
Because you have so much of it inside yourself.
I don't know. Valerie said that once, you know, all poems are love poems. He was a French poet. And I was glad to see that somebody agreed with me on that.
A little girl once said, it must be really easy to be a poet because poems just come into your head. Do you think that's true?
Well, it is in a way. I mean, something comes. A line is given, I think. God or somebody sends it down. And then you have this and you work with it. That's the beginning. It's not the whole thing. And gradually the poem comes. But it's a song, and it's something said at the same time. It's just all by itself. It's different from other things. It's not quite music, you see. And yet it's music.
But when I hear you read, it brings music to me somehow.
I hope so. That's what I want. Yes.
Yeah. How special it is. Do you think that maybe some of our friends might be poets someday?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure there are friends out there who are poets right now, who are beginning to say things to themselves and listen to the sounds of them, you know, and how they look. Try and describe your cat. Try and talk the way a squirrel might. Oh!
Hello.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Hi, May.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to see you.
Glad to see you again, Fred. I came to pick up May, go to take her to school.
I want you to know my television neighbor.
Oh, hi.
I'm Chris DeVink.
Hi.
Couldn't you stay just a minute?
Well, okay. School won't be for another few minutes. I guess we can stay. That's okay to interrupt you.
Oh, we've been having a good talk about
poetry. Good to see you again, May.
Chris, you know, is a poet, too.
Oh, yes.
And did you write poems when you were a little boy?
Very little boy. Mm. Yes, I used to write poems when I was...
Well, how did you go about writing poems? May was telling us, take a look at a squirrel and just try to describe it. And how would you make up your poem?
Well, I think I remember the sound. I like the sound of things. And I remember my father saying something like, the ba-ba black sheep. Remember those wonderful
indeed,
rhymes? And he
yes.
would go, ba-ba black sheep. Have you any wool, he would say. And I liked the way he stretched that word and played with that sound. And I always remembered him doing that.
Mm.
So I guess that's where it started, listening to that sound and wanting to repeat that wonderful sound that was there. It was kind of fun.
And do you do that with your children?
That exact poem I did with my boy. I have David, who's a little 6-year-old, and I did that too. Yes.
Oh, you must read to them. Yes. That's lovely.
Yes, I read the poems.
I can hear my mother's voice, you know, whenever I'm... I can hear my mother. She used to read me poems when I was very small, always before I went to sleep, and they'd sort of be running around in my head.
And so now when you write, you hear?
I hear her voice quite often.
What
yes.
a comfort.
It is, yes.
Yes, that's what I do with my children, too. Mm-hmm. I read to them every night. Every night we read to them the books and lots of poetry, because that's where it begins.
One time you told me that you sometimes make a little squiggle with two hands, is it, on paper?
Oh, when my sister and I, Anne, when we were little, my father brought us home some paper. And we said, well, what can we do with this paper? So Anne took a pencil and I took a pencil and I closed my eyes and I made a design on the paper. And I opened my eyes and looked at this design. And you know how children look at the clouds and they'll say, well, that's a rabbit up there.
Yeah.
That's a sailboat up there. Well, I looked at my little paper, my squiggle that I made on this paper, and I said, well, that looks like a train, maybe, or that looks like it looks like a rabbit. You just make up, you kind of see something right
You
in
make
the picture.
A squiggle, and then you sort of discover what you've made.
And that's what writing is. You see an image, and
yes.
then you add on a
right.
little word, and you make up the image, and it's a beautiful connection. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful connection.
It must be a joy to be a writer.
It is a joy, isn't it?
Freda, I hate to interrupt, but we really have to get going.
Yes, we do.
The children are waiting for May at school.
Yes. Well, they're lucky to have both of you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Yes, thanks very much. It was lovely to see you.
Thank you, May, for being. Bye, my dear.
Bye-bye, Fred.
Bye, Chris. I love to share wonderful people with you. Well, let's go inside. Did you ever think that whenever you make up your own play, you're being creative, like those two poets? Playing might be one of your ways of thinking about your feelings. Making poems, making up a dance, dreaming, singing, all kinds of ways to grow and show who you are. It's such a good feeling. To know you're alive, it's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you. And you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will, too. You always make each day a special day. And we have a special time together. I'll be back next time. Bye.
People who gave the money to make Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood are the people of this and other public television stations and the Sears Roebuck Foundation.